Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The word of the Lord. Well, good morning, and it's wonderful to see all of you, and grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As was said before, I'm Todd Bertani, and I'm here with my beautiful wife, Jet, and this is our second time here, and we really just love it here, and we've been so welcomed, and this is a beautiful and wonderful congregation, so it's just great to be here this morning. About 3-4 times a week, maybe more, we'll take our dog Roxy for a walk. She's an 8-year-old boxer, she's a rescue we got a few months ago, and we'll take her for a walk over at the Golden Ponds. Any of you that know Longmont, there's a beautiful park that's just behind our house, and we just love to go there, and oftentimes one of the things I love most about that is walking along the St. Vrain's Creek there, and just watching the river flow the creek flow. And right now, what's so beautiful is all the water's coming down from the mountain, so there's a lot of water, and it's moving fast. And one of the things I love to do is go off the path and just walk alongside the creek. And we'll let Roxy off her leash, and we'll just walk. And something about the sound of the water—it's soothing, I don't know. There's just something that I always gain that I'm just filled up with, and something that reminds me about life, that life doesn't stop, right? Life just keeps going, and the way of God and the power of God is that same kind of thing. It just moves, it goes, it flows. Since the beginning of time, since the first day of creation, God has been working, God has been moving, God has been flowing. And as people of faith, we understand the movement of God a certain kind of way. And one of the things when we go to the very, from Genesis 1, all the way through to Revelations, we see a God that is a God of love, a God of transformation, a God of new life. What's that passage? See, I am making all things new. And that's constant, right? Every new every moment is a new moment, is a new experience of life. And as Christians, we see the movement of God through scriptures as what we would call the salvation history of God. Always loving, always caring, always redeeming, never giving up, never turning God's back on us, even though we are always turning our back on God. And a God that is forgiving, a God that is always bringing something new, which we then, as Christians, experience most profoundly through Jesus, as the culmination, as the great master stroke of God in Jesus. And in this time of Easter, this third Sunday of Easter, it's a time where we again ponder and reflect on what we just experienced, which was the resurrection of Jesus. And one of the things that's so wonderful in this passage from Acts is we see the Acts of the Apostles. We see the apostles doing what? Doing exactly what Jesus did, healing, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, performing miracles. They're continuing the work of Jesus, the work of God keeps flowing, keeps going, just like St. Vrain's Creek. It keeps rolling. Nothing stops it. And one of the things that's so beautiful about this passage is that it just It helps us to see what God does in God's people. Now, was Peter or John or any of the apostles perfect? No, they're just like me and you. But Peter was a fisherman. Matthew was a tax collector. James and John were fishermen. They were guys that came from Galilee, up in the North Country, country bumpkins. They weren't educated. But Jesus transformed who they were. Jesus took them from being fishers of fish to fishers of people, right? To bring people in, to catch people for God. And when we see Peter and John in the third chapter of Acts, we have to remember the Peter that tried to walk on water and sank because he doubted. The Peter that fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Peter that denied Jesus three times. The Peter that was thinking of things of this earth rather than things of heaven when he said, "Jesus, no, you can't die. You can't rise again. What's that? No, we're not going to let that happen." We see a different Peter now, don't we? A Peter that's transformed. I would even call him a resurrected Peter, a new kind of Peter, a Peter living a new kind of way. And remember, before Acts, we really don't see the disciples doing the healing. It's all about Jesus, about what Jesus is doing. But when, on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, to the apostles, to the first church, something happened. And it wasn't something that, like, all of a sudden out of the blue happened. It was something that had been in motion, had been moving forward and in them, but came into fullness when the Holy Spirit was given to them on that day of Pentecost. Because what we have to remember is the Holy Spirit is Jesus in spirit form, right? So everything that Jesus did and was doing was then transferred to the Holy Spirit that was then given to the disciples and given to who else? Me and you. Me and you, right? And that's the thing to remember is that on that day when the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, it was the fulfillment of what Jesus had told them. Because this was all preparation. This is the way God works. God is always working on us. God is always seeking to open us up to the truth of who God is. And not just of the truth of who God is, but the truth of who God is within us. And so what was going on was that when Jesus was right before he died, when he was, during the Last Supper, and if we especially look at the Gospel of John, when Jesus is telling them, "Hey, I'm going to go, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, as I've been telling you, and as you guys still don't believe me about it, this is what's going to happen, okay? But when I go, there's going to be a day where I'm going to ascend into heaven. But then the advocate's going to come, another's going to come and take my place, the Holy Spirit." And there's a verse, and I know you've all have heard it before, and it's a verse that I don't think we spend enough time on. We could probably write books and books and books on it and have sermon series after sermon series on it. But it's in chapter 14 in John when he's during the Last Supper, because in the Gospel of John, it's really just, it's a long sermon during the Last Supper. There's about three chapters where Jesus is just preaching to them and teaching them and preparing them. And he says this: "When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be able to do the things that I did, and greater things than these will you do." What's Jesus saying there? I've always wrestled with that. I've always tried to figure it out. And I don't feel like we talk about it enough. And greater things. So the things that I did, Jesus Christ, Son of God, guess what? You're going to do greater things. I mean, that's how I read it. I mean, that's what it says. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? And we see Peter, and we see this new Peter emerging in chapter 2 of Acts during the whole Pentecost event. Because after the Holy Spirit comes into them and they start speaking, and the Holy Spirit appears as a flames of fire, and they're speaking, these Galileans, these country bumpkins from the north country are speaking in all the languages of all the people who have come to this day of Pentecost, this festival of Pentecost, which was a Jewish festival. And some of you may or may not know that that was a day where the Jewish people, it commemorates when they received the law, when Moses received the law. And so on this day, it was the day that the Christians received the Holy Spirit. So everyone from all around had come to Jerusalem. And so the Galileans were speaking in the language of all of those who were there. And then after Peter goes and he preaches to them, and he said, this is what was supposed to happen. Jesus is the culmination. The Son of God was to die and rise again. And then as we see this emergent new Peter, we come into chapter 3 where Peter and John go into the temple. And on the way into the temple through the beautiful gate, which was supposed to be this beautiful gate adorned with bronze. And some believe maybe it was where the wealthy Jewish folks came in for the hour of prayer at 3 p.m. into the temple to pray. And here's this very smart guy that knows, look, I'm crippled. I can't walk. Life is tough. But here's a way for me to get some income. Here's a way for me to receive some money to help me get through the day. And so Peter and John see him, and Peter looks at him, and he says, come, look at me. And he says, look, I don't have any silver or gold to give you, but I do have something to give you. And it's the love of God, it's the power of God, it's the healing of God by faith in Jesus. Be healed. Get up, walk. And that's what happens. Wow. So we see Peter doing this. We see Peter then healing this man, who then he brings into the temple with him, who's now entered into the worshiping community, the people of God, which is another kind of healing, right? He's brought in, he's welcomed in, he's brought into the church, he's brought into the temple. This Peter is doing this amazing work. He's carrying forward, he's just carrying on the work of Jesus. Peter. Now, it's easy for us to hear this passage and to look at it as something that happened at a specific point in history. Just like the life of Jesus with his death and resurrection happened in a specific point in history. And we can say it's a historical event. Wow. Boy, they were doing some stuff in the early church, weren't they? And the tendency is to do that because we're like Peter. We doubt, we question, we struggle with our faith. We struggle with understanding. We want to put our own set of things, of approaches, of concepts to life. We want to put it on God. And I would argue that I do this, and I imagine maybe one or two of you do it too, as we doubt, as we sell ourselves short when it comes to the power of God and what the power of God can do in me and you. I would even argue that it's why we are struggling as churches, as Presbyterians, as Lutherans, as Methodists, as Episcopalians, as so many Christian organizations are struggling. And I wonder if it's because we haven't reclaimed the kind of power that was coursing through Peter, that was coursing in the midst of Jesus' death, that rolled the stone away and Jesus' resurrection. I'm wondering if there's a power there. And I don't believe that we're claiming it. I know I'm not. I'm reminded of that when I get ready to preach a sermon and all the doubts, like, am I going to make sense? Are they going to fall asleep? Am I going to forget what I'm supposed to say? I doubt myself. I question myself every day. And yet today we're called back. And in these passages after Easter, and this time of Easter is a time for us not just to remember what Jesus did, not just to remember that Jesus was raised again, but to remember that it is our birthright as Christians to claim the power of the resurrection. In our baptism itself, we die and rise again with Christ. And many in our lives are all lives of living, of dying, and rising again. Many of us, and I know I'm 57 now, I can look and I have a series of lives. I've lived a series of lives just within this period of time. And 8 years ago, I died. I died to my marriage at that time. I died to being a pastor at that time. I died. And I rose again. And even though I wasn't really always thinking about what God was doing for me at that time, I remember hearing a voice that said, look, you had to go through something like this. You had to lose everything, man. But in losing everything, I'm going to give you something new. And I'm going to give you a new purpose. And I'm going to help you really discover who I made you to be. And I'm going to really use you in ways that you never thought you could be used in a way before through me. I'm going to do it. But you had to go through this. You had to die. You had to die to a certain understanding of Todd. And I'm going to rise you again into a new Todd. Life is good now. It's been painful, but life is good. And I'm living in a way where every day it's about dying to the old Todd and living to the new Todd. And that's what Christ teaches us, right? To die to the old Adam and Eve and rise again and come into the new one. And it's about remembering who we are as baptized people of God, where we die and rise again. Where it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So something for us to think about, because when Peter went to the man who was begging at the beautiful gate, he said, I've got something to give to you. And what was he giving him? He was giving him nothing less than the power of God through Jesus that was given to Peter. Peter was just sharing what he had been given. And maybe we can hear this text as a call back to what we are called to be as the church and as the people of God, to share with what we have been given in Christ. And so that's going to mean something different for each of us. And I could spend another 20 minutes, but I know you don't want me to, and I'm not going to, on what that might look like. And I want to challenge you to think about that. What have you been given through your faith in Jesus? And of that, of what you've been given, may some of that be something that you can then share with someone else in the world. Because here's the radical thing. What Peter did, we can do. We can. We can. And that's what our calling is. Because we died and we rose again. And the life I now live is not my life, but it's Christ who lives in me and through me. So what have you been given? And what does God want you to share with what you've been given? And when we do that, when we live that out, we are just living out the hymn And I tried to look for it in the hymnal, but it wasn't there. But it's Christ is alive, let Christians sing. His cross stands empty to the sky. Dun, 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 dun. Right? But that's what we're called to live. Because if we've died and rose again with Christ, then the power that made that happen is the power that is coursing through me and through you. Amen.